Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. We've got Don here.
I'm here.
There he is.
I'm here.
Ava.
I'm here as well.
And me. I am Eric. And we are the Valley Outdoors. Got a lot of fun stuff coming up today. We're going to be talking about some salmon runs that were very surprising to me as far as the report coming out of the Kenai, which I know I've got a lot of friends in the Midwest, much less everywhere else in the country, that like to go up to Alaska and do a little salmon fishing. Also report on the Upper Mississippi River and the status of the river. So lots of cool stuff to talk about. We're also going to talk a little bit about what's too fast when it comes to trolling for walleye. That and more when we come right back. Here's your chance to fish with us, the Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging in Ashkenham Resort in Ash River and fishing the waters of Cabotogama and Namekin Lakes. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 17th through the 22nd. You can bring your own boat or fish with one of us. Plus, a walleye seminar and contests for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Trip sponsored by The Valley Outdoors Radio and Ashkenham Resort. Get registered today to fish with us. Winner announced on August 20th on The Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com. Hello, Donald.
Good day.
How's things?
Well, things are
going along.
Going along pretty good. Getting ready for my next trip.
And that's going to be where?
We're going to be flying into a lake a couple hours north of Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Ah, very nice.
And we're going to... I've actually, that's one of the areas of Ontario that I haven't had the chance to fish. I think it's a different type of lake than it is in the what they'd call Northern Ontario or Manitoba.
Right.
So looking forward to seeing what that's all about. I hear the fishing's usually pretty good over there, so we're going to check it out.
Bring some big old paddle tails.
I'll do that, and, you know, we're looking forward to the drive because it's all the way up the North Shore to Thunder Bay. So it'll be a nice drive.
Yeah, that's a beautiful area up there.
Yep.
I love that.
I'm just waiting for Don to move to Canada.
I
might as well. He's up there all the time.
You know, you'll know him when he starts wearing Labatt's t-shirts.
Yeah.
Singing the anthem.
Hey.
Yeah. No. I'm missing the A yet.
Yeah. Well, it won't take long. Yeah. He'll get into it.
Learn some French.
Yep.
It'll be good.
Oui, oui.
I'm not going that far.
Okay.
Good. Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
As soon as we have the telltale signs. It'll happen. It'll right. happen. So, Donald.
Yes.
On the water this last week, and lots of friends obviously have been on the water, various places, whether you're on Mille Lacs, whether you're, it doesn't matter. There's a bug hatches that do occur. And
about right, this time of year.
Yeah. And we have multiple times. We've already had multiple hatches that occurred already. And this last one was a, excuse the terminology,
Dandy.
Doozy. Yeah. And it was, to me, it was probably the biggest hatch I've seen since I've, for probably 20 years. There were stretches of 15 feet that was a band. It was solid mayfly carcasses that had floated up. And then it was 15-foot section of open water, then a 15-foot section of mayflies. Now, this was a ribbon that went as far as I could see up the river.
Ugh.
And it was actually in Pepin, so it was wide area. It's the widest part. If those of you guys don't know it, Lake Pepin is one of the widest areas, is the widest area
in
the Mississippi River.
Right.
Correct. And there is a mud bottom that these
mayflies
hatch from, so you end up having significant amount, but I'm telling you right now, it was
a bug flotilla.
You try to troll through it.
Gross.
Makes it very, very difficult.
So I live in Lake City, and they haven't gotten to our yard yet, and we're like 3 blocks away
from the water edge. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty good, if you ask me.
They're getting them down in the water, right, down on the edge in Red Wing and in other parts and pieces. So they're out there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But again, it's, and Mille Lacs, you know, it, I mean, it gets to the point, for those of you who don't know, they haven't experienced it, Mille Lacs gets to the point where they actually, if they get a wind at night when they hatch or come out and die, they will pile onto the road as much as a foot thick. And if you drive your car over it, you will have, it's like worse than glare ice.
Well, yeah.
It gets a little greasy.
They actually take plows out.
Exactly. Yeah. They take
to get
buckets
rid of them.
And bring
them out.
I've
seen that in Canada with army worms.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Same kind of thing. I mean, they'll clear the all of the foliage off the trees, yeah, and they're crawling across the road, and you got to slow down because it's
wee.
It's a little greasy.
Yeah, yeah. Not good.
Well, so you go really greasy. Slow so that your vehicle and your boat isn't
stay
covered.
Intact. Yeah. Well, so when it comes to the bug hatch, that it, not to mention that it's don't park under any lights in any parking lots.
And they
that
seem
are nearby
to like white vehicles. Why white vehicles?
I don't know.
Tracks them.
But don't park under any lights, because once they die by the light,
mm-hmm,
they'll fall on top and they pile, literally pile up next to the
and
light
poles.
And
they smell so good.
And they do. Yeah. They really do. Especially if it rains and it sits there for a while. It's special. But here's the whole point. When you're looking at a situation, it's obviously related to a fishing scenario, because these walleyes and other fish will eat and eat and eat and gorge themselves.
And birds.
And birds as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is that as they're emerging from the bottom, you can actually see it on your graph. Oftentimes when we troll, we always troll the bottom. We're looking for fish on the bottom. But we have to think three-dimensional. We have to think about the fish that are suspended. And in a bug hatch, that is a major, major way to attack that bunch of fish. They will suspend and look at those bait or the mayflies that are coming up, and they will attack. And if you can make sure that you're addressing at least half of your trolling, let's say you're running 4 rods, you run half of that rig or that setup you're running, run them higher up in the water column, and then maybe run even some higher up yet. Make a pass in that scenario, and you will be surprised at the fish that you get. And many times you don't mark them because they are that high in the water column. So understand, fishing in a mayfly hatch can be extremely successful. The other thing to keep in mind is, you're running a, let's say, live bait on an area that's away, just a little bit away from that area, you're going to find they're going to want to feed on mayflies. So you try to match the hatch. A Phelps floater with a crawler on it matches that somewhat, and those fish will eat it. So keep those things in mind. Look at what you're doing and what your graph tells you. Trust it, and also understand that nearby areas, if it's too thick to troll, go to those points, breaks, and anything that's going to be associated with it. Maybe it's a flats, but the edge of the flats, so you're able to find where these fish are at, because they will hang out. They may not be directly in the middle of it, but they're looking for that type of a hatch. So keep that in mind. Hopefully it'll make your on-water experience that much better when you're out in the middle of a mayfly hatch. Stay tuned. We're going to be back with more Valley Outdoors. I'd like to remind everybody to check us out on Facebook, and of course, where else, Donald?
On our website at thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Yes, sir, and all the cool stuff's on there. We're going to highlight some of those little key fun things that you need to sign up for on the next break coming after that. So a lot of good stuff, but check it out. See what we got going on, and I think you'll have some fun. Interactive map. I think that's always cool.
I just showed that to a gentleman the other day, and he went, wow. I mean, that's pretty nice.
That was excitement there, Donald.
It was.
You notice that?
Wow.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
Lifesavers. Wild cherry flavored lifesavers.
Owen Wilson? Wow.
Wow. check it out, thevalleyoutdoors.com.
It's a good place to go. It's a good place to hang out. Report coming out of Alaska, Don. You know, I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of people in the United States lower U.S. that like to go up to Alaska, whether it's the Interior Passage or it's halibut fishing or it's salmon fishing, whatever it might be. The Kenai is a major resource for that. People fish out of the Kenai a lot. And kind of a bummer report coming out of Alaska on the Kenai Peninsula. Alarmingly low king salmon runs caused fishing closures on the Kenai. The outlook for king salmon fishing in the Kenai this season just took a turn for the worse. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game has closed the Kenai River, the Anchor River, and Deep Creek to king fishing into June. Now, after alarmingly low king numbers around peninsula this spring, they've closed the Kaseloff and Nilichuk rivers and Cook Inlet into July, and that is not a good sign. That is a very scary scenario.
Did they give any reason why that would be happening?
Well, they want nothing more than to have good numbers of the salmon returning to the streams every year, but I think it's going to be testing the patience for what we've been seeing. They've been seeing very few kings. Well, healthy early season runs typically are 4,000 to 7,000 kings. In the Kenai, this year, department only counted 1,030. And it's a trend that's getting worse. The Nilichuk has closed in 2018, but this is the first time in this, the Department of Natural Resources for Alaska, first time in their memory that they've closed the Kaseloff to king fishing. It was pretty obvious that these runs were looking to be some of the weakest runs we've seen in the Cook Inlet since they've been monitoring that area. In the case of both the Kaseloff and the Nilichuk, the closures came despite an ongoing king stocking program. But most concerning for local anglers is the closure of the Kenai, which traditionally has been the largest freshwater sport fishery for king, sockeye, and cohos in Alaska. From the early source of Kenai, that flows 80 miles into the Cook Inlet, and it gets good early angler opportunities and late run action for three salmon species, along with pink and rainbow trout. Kind of a sad thing. And a lot of these guys up there, you know, they're...
It's their livelihood.
Their livelihood. Yes. And unfortunately, that's the case. The Kenai is closed through July 31st for kings. The Kaseloff and Cook Inlet fisheries are closed through July 15th for kings. And the catch and release starts on the 16th, which is just a couple days. Oh, actually, it was last week. My bad. I can't even keep track of what the week is. And they don't see a rebound coming in the near future. Ideally, like they would like to see king salmon start turning around right now. But it feels like we're in for the long haul.
This is typically the time of year where it's most productive.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the prime time to be, or, you know, the first 2 to 3 weeks of June.
No, it's...
In the rivers there.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And as I said, there's a lot of buddies of mine that are going up there.
Yeah.
And it's always been good for them, but I think this might be
so nuts. What are they going to do as an alternative?
Halibut? Probably.
Yep.
Well, I'd like to go pull a plywood board off the bottom of the ocean.
Yep.
Sounds like fun.
It's good fare, though.
Oh, it's good to eat, but you wonder who hooked who at about 45 minutes in.
That's what I've been told. I've never done that.
Yeah, it's...
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah. Or you could be pulling a bucket off the bottom, too. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, full of sand.
Exactly. Exactly. Speaking of sand, that documents the status and trends of the upper Mississippi River system is out, Donald. U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the U.S. Geological Survey, in partnership with the Minnesota DNR, they've released a report on the ecological status of the upper Mississippi River. The report analyzes more than 25 years of data and will inform river management and investments in the coming years. The report includes information on water quality and aquatic vegetation, as well as fisheries data from 6 geographic study areas and select system-wide data. You can get it, and we can have it on our website as well. Key takeaways from the report that are relative to Minnesota. The river's changing for a variety of reasons. The most significant of them is changing hydrology and invasive species. The Mississippi River system is large and diverse, obviously ecosystem with many differences in regions, and changes in the river are occurring differently at different rates within. As you know, the upper Mississippi, upper is more of a shallow fishery as opposed to the lower where they're able to control it significantly with for barge traffic at that point. So there's more water in the river more of the time, with high flows lasting longer and occurring more frequently through the system. Trend is likely permanent change to the hydrology driven by land use changes and shifting climate. Water flow is the primary driver affecting quality and quantity of habitat. The floodplain forest loss has happened in nearly every study, no matter where, except in the South St. Louis, Missouri area, where it looks like the locks are not in place. So the locks are causing that type of thing to go on. The forest may be responding to several interacting factors and environmental changes, including increased flood inundation and invasive species as well. In Pool 4 and Pool 8, water has become clearer and aquatic plants more abundant and diverse, which is improving habitat for fish and wildlife and leading to a decline in invasive species, which I have definitely seen a lot less zebra mussels in the past than past years. Nutrients, notably nitrogen and phosphorus, remain high, exceeding the EPA's benchmarks, continuing to threaten aquatic life in the upper Mississippi River system. Phosphorus concentrations have, however, declined, which is good, as we all would expect. Improvements in the Cannon River watershed significantly contributed to improvement in water quality in the Mississippi River along the Minnesota border below the Cannon River confluence. And last but not least, the upper Mississippi River system continues to support diverse and abundant fish populations, and economically and socially important recreational populations have increased in the northern section of the river. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, some good stuff coming out of there. There's also been some controversial things put up about whether or not to remove the locks and just let it flow freely. And then that kind of shocked me. So
really?
Yeah. We'll talk about that when we come
when right it happens. Back. Yeah.
Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies?
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome back, everybody. And, Todd, you know, it's pretty simple to win stuff a lot of times. It's never easier to win than the Fish With Us program.
Yeah. Just go to our website, please, and sign. If you'd like to have the opportunity to fish with Eric and I, and there'll be a couple other guys that'll be there with really nice boats, especially two of them.
Yeah.
And you'll have a chance to hopefully learn a lot, but if you'd enjoy fishing for 4 days with us, pretty much all expense paid. You got to get there and buy yourself a fishing license. But other than that, we're going to feed you, and we're going to
feed you, fish you, and
take you out fishing. And we eat pretty good, I would say. We didn't get any complaints last year.
No, in fact, we get
had
reviews.
A ball. We just hope for nice weather. We'll be fishing Namekin Lake and Cabotogama.
Yep.
Come on up. We have a great time, and it's great camaraderie, and you get to know Eric and I, and the guys that went up with us last year, I see they're trying hard to make a repeat. And the only reason they would be doing that is because I think they had a really good time.
Because they had a good time.
Yep.
Yep, I agree. Well, important here, too, is it doesn't matter how many times you enter. You can enter every single day.
Right.
And
I'm going to tell you how we pick them. just so you know. Every time you enter, it just goes based on the time that you entered. And when the day comes for the drawing, if there's 500 entries, I have the a random computer, you know, just picks a number. And that number, if you're number 43 or 372, we see who's at that place on the list. So the more times you enter, and you can enter once per day, you can go fishing with us.
And, it's super fun. We have some educational aspects. So it's you're getting a guide trip. You're getting a fun trip. You're getting a educational trip. A lot of times we'll talk about what we're doing on the water, how to tie rigs, how to tie anything and everything you can possibly imagine, and get that. You can get it all in one-shot deal.
And you might even go home with a few goodies.
You possibly could.
Yeah.
That's definitely something that could happen.
Yep. Get registered. It's very simple. Go to our website. Just go down to where it says Fish With Us and hit the orange button and get yourself signed up. Do it every day.
Do it every day. You will see that it's worthwhile.
Yep.
I will tell you that. So we talk a little bit about invasive species and water clarity, right? Well, North Dakota, they do an extensive amount of prevention. So anytime we go to tournaments up in North Dakota, we have to go have our boats inspected, and then we have a sticker that's applied that the boat was inspected. And sometimes they're even, you know, they'll splash a chemical in the boat just to make sure there wasn't any residual living, any type of invasives are in the boat, right? Well, now they've stepped it up. This is impressive. North Dakota Walleye Tournament brings mussel-sniffing dogs.
Really?
The zebra mussel-sniffing dogs are in action in Minnesota. Such dogs will be on hand for a walleye tournament in North Dakota. The effort to combat the spread and the introduction of invasive species, zebra mussels in this case, in North Dakota waters is going to the dogs, as the saying says. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has partnered with Washington State Department of Fish and Wildlife Wardens, who will employ their professionally trained canine companions to detect the presence of zebra mussels and quagga mussels on boats being launched in North Dakota Governor's Walleye Cup Tournament. It's really a big tournament out there. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I'm not.
The Corps will host a mussel canine demonstration open to the public July 14th, and that was last week, and 10 a.m. at Fort Stevenson Park. The canines and handlers will inspect the upcoming tournament for the invasive species during the angler registration and launching. So compared to humans, canines provide a level of detection far beyond human capability, and the result in a reduced risk, faster launch times, and greater accountability. Said it's nice to share the goal of preserving and protecting North Dakota's fisheries by taking proactive measures that we can prevent introduction of zebra mussels and other aquatic nuisance into Lake Sakakawea, says Ben Holland. He's a buddy of mine's, I think, dad, if I'm not mistaken. By using an unorthodox approach to mussel-sniffing dogs, we're not only proactively looking for mussels using acute detection, but we're also displaying the importance of ANS prevention measures, which is a message shared by all, including the Governor's Cup Committee and the Corps of Engineers and Game and Fish. So, pretty cool deal. I when I saw that, I thought, what a great way to combine dogs and fishing. Nobody ever
thought that
was
possible. Dogs are pretty amazing. I just literally went to a ball game yesterday, and they have a dog that walks around your vehicle now.
Yep.
That sniffs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're sniffing for, but.
Bombs. Yep.
Okay.
Did you do Champions Club park underneath?
Yes.
Yep. So that's all it's checking for is explosives.
Yeah.
But I actually found a dog on TikTok that can pick out gluten in food. So, like, let's say you're celiac and you can't have any food that has gluten in it. This dog can smell if there's gluten in your food. So, like, this woman, she'll go to a restaurant and it'll say this is a gluten-free meal, mm-hmm. and she'll have him smell it, and sometimes he alerts that, yeah, there actually is gluten in there.
Excuse me, I have to have my gluten dog come with me.
Hey,
you
have
a,
but
where do you have a gluten dog?
Is there a a little sign you put on the side of that says gluten dog?
That'd be so cool.
Does that mean it's a new breed or
no? But
dog's
I mean,
been trained to smell gluten.
Yeah.
I don't know what gluten smells like, but
diabetes.
Yeah,
they can smell if you're going high or low. They can alert to that. Seizures coming on.
I've seen the seizure dogs. They get
cancer dogs.
Oh yeah. Dogs are amazing.
They are.
Yep. Yeah, most importantly, they
gluten
can,
dog.
Most importantly, they can smell pheasants.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More important than seizures
anyway.
And diabetes, you know.
Yeah.
Well, more important than gluten in my mind.
Cancer.
Sorry.
Gluten. Let's just stick with the gluten.
Hey, yeah. The gluten thing was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's the most
It's amazing.
Thing I've ever heard. You imagine walking in with the sign on the side of your dog says my
I'm
gluten
pretty
dog
sure.
with a handle on it.
It's I'm like, pretty sure it says.
Are you just hungry or what?
I'm pretty sure it says service dog on
you
it.
You know, I don't know that we mentioned, but signing up for Fish With Us,
yeah,
we're going to be staying at the Ashkenam Lodge.
Oh, yeah.
So you can
right
check them
River.
Out. You can go right to our website and you can see the Ashkenam, but you can check them out. It's a great place to go.
No, and super
and
nice people. You've got a nice
you're
lodge
on the
there.
River. It's so protected there is what I like. Even if it gets windy. Your boats aren't going to get rocked all over the place.
No.
And you got a nice little calm. Got about 5-minute little ride.
Till you get into the...
Into the river and out you go to the
till
lake.
Till you hit the
check
stuff.
Them out.
Is the gluten
check
dog invited?
Check them out.
If
check
you got
us
them.
Out. Check us out next week. We're going to have more fun than you can possibly imagine, more than I can even probably make up on my own, which is pretty rare. But nonetheless, for Don, Ava, myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out.